Is everybody in? The ceremony is about...
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This stuff is going to be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Weekend Sports Report. This is Steve Leventhal on the road out there somewhere. Packer Dave probably holed up in some bar. Dave, how you doing this week?
I'm all right, Steve. You're lead mic this week, so if everybody wants to tune out now, they're welcome to do that. And by the way, good job on that opening there. Lots of enthusiasm. Liked it. Anyway, hey, today, Steve, you know, the Packers and the Bears are both on their bye week. So we're going to go back into the archives, and you tell us who we have. And I know we got some old All-Star Packers and old All-Star Bears.
Well, we went and combed through the catacombs and dug through the basement and come up with a few things. Found an interview that I did at Wrigley Field with Dick Butkus, a legendary linebacker. Also, we've got the interview the late, great Bob Greenberg did with Jim Taylor, one of your favorites. And then there's the interview that we did in 1996 with Bart Starr talking about that famous game at Lambeau. What do you remember about that?
Well, I was just turned five, so I just remember what I've seen on the films. But Bart Starr, you know, recovering in Mississippi from a recent stroke, and we wish him the best. But, yeah, we're going back into the archives. But let's talk a bit about the Packers and the Bears, Steve, so far this year. Green Bay defeats San Diego in their most recent game, and that was a tight one. Phillip Rivers had the Chargers right down by the goal line, ready to score a touchdown that would have at least tied the game and put it into overtime. But they fail, and Green Bay comes out with a win there. The Bears fall in overtime to the Lions, and they're 2-4. Packers 6-0, by the way, undefeated. Chicago falls to Detroit in overtime. That was also, of course, a close game. And they're 2-4. They beat Oakland and Kansas City at the very end of each of those games. And they were 0-3 to start the season, dropping games to the Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Seattle Seahawks, which everybody kind of expected. So I thought the Bears might be right about where they're at, 2-4. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, pretty much. Although, you know, they could have won that game against the Lions, but at the same time, you knew the Lions weren't going to go 0-16, and they had to beat somebody. So one of their victims turns out to be the Bears. And a pretty exciting game, went back and forth down to the last second or two. And, yeah, you know, what do you think?
Well, just because I ask you what you think, Steve, doesn't mean you ask me what I think. This is Broadcasting 101 here. The Bears were lucky to be in that game. They got a lot of breaks. That's my outlook on that one. Jay Cutler so far this year, 7 TDs, 4 interceptions, an 86.2 quarterback rating. And Aaron Rodgers, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a 115.9 rating at the time of this recording. That's just behind Tom Brady and Andy Dalton for third in the league. And looking at some of the other players, Steve, on the two teams, James Starks, the leading rusher for the Packers at this point. Eddie Lacy has been hobbled with the ankle injury, so they played Starks a lot. He's got 286 yards and a 4.5-yard average. Lacy, 260 with a 3.9-yard average. So they're kind of resting Lacy for the end of the year and the home stretch. Matt Forte, the workhorse for the Bears, 507 yards and a 4.0 average. So he's doing well. A big surprise for Green Bay, James Jones, who was cut by both the Raiders and the Giants. The Packers pick him up going into the regular season. And he has 424 yards through the air, averaging 20.2 yards a reception with 6 touchdowns. And with the Bears, Martellus Bennett, 34 receptions, 292 yards and 2 touchdowns. He kind of catches those short passes for first down. So that's where we're at with some of the players on those teams. The only real standout here is Aaron Rodgers, of course. The Vikings,
of course,
at the Bears, that'll be noon Sunday, week 8 of the NFL after the bye week. And the Packers play the Denver Broncos, and that'll be a Sunday night game. So that'll be about a 7:30 kickoff, 7:20, 7:30 kickoff on Sunday night, week 8 after the bye. So that's where the teams stand right now. Packers 6-0, Bears 2-4. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up from some real legends out of the archives of the Bears-Packers showdown and the weekend sports report. So we have all of that coming back. Steve, take us to break, and we'll do this thing after these messages.
We'll be right back, like Dave said, with lots of good stuff here on the weekend sports report. It's maybe not the best show in town, but it is the only show in town. Coming to you right from Lake Bluff, Illinois, studios of SRN. It's the weekend sports report. We'll be right back after this.
Even if your windows are still open now, it won't be long until you close them up for winter. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about improving your indoor air quality right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
Homes today are sealed tighter than ever before to improve energy efficiency. The result for many homeowners has been a dramatic reduction in indoor air quality. Replacing the heating and cooling system of your home can be very costly, but there are ways to help improve the indoor air quality without going to that expense. For existing systems, your best bet is to replace the air filters with a 2- or 3-stage filter, which can control harmful airborne microorganisms, gases, and even dust particles. They may not be readily available at all hardware stores, but most can be purchased online. Be sure to look for high-density carbon or polycarbon in the item's description. For even greater air quality, consider using a standalone room ionizer in conjunction with one of these filters. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-262-9159. Again, that's 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyXcluder.com. That's buyXcluder.com. buyXcluder.com.
This is Jim Taylor, and you're listening to the Bears-Packers Showdown.
That's Packers Hall of Famer Jim Taylor on the Weekend Sports Report. That was our old show, and Packer Dave is joining me from the road. Dave, what's happening?
All right, in Florida, getting ready to go on a cruise. I do that because the Packers are on a bye, so I go on a bye. That's right, Jim Taylor, Hall of Famer, and doing a promo for our old show, the Bears-Packers Showdown. And, yeah, going on a cruise, a lot of Caribbean stops, Steve.
Oh, my God, just think about the rum sales are going to spike in those countries. That'll be awesome.
Could be. Okay. Now, let's listen to this interview from the past with Jim Taylor.
Yeah. former outstanding running back for the Green Bay Packers. He played in the Packers' first Super Bowl. Jim, first of all, welcome to the Bears-Packers Showdown.
Well, thank you. Delighted to be with the Packers Showdown.
Jim, what are the memories of that Super Bowl for you, and how would you compare that Super Bowl to last year's Super Bowl, which was won by the Packers?
Well, it was a great Super Bowl, knowing, you didn't know what the Kansas City Chiefs, what they were going to do. We hadn't played a team from that league, and it was exciting to represent the NFL, and then this past year was great to see the Packers back and to come back and win the 31st Super Bowl, which is 30-odd years later, and it's just great to be looking back and hoping the Packers will be back in it this year.
Well, I know if you talk to a lot of the Packers, their feeling is that they can do it all over again. Matter of fact, some people are talking about a 16-0 season for Green Bay. I think that would be pretty difficult, don't you?
Very, very difficult, yeah. Teams are really tougher now, and you just got a long season. I just think you ought to think from game to game and playing and winning each ball game and not have all these far-fetched trying to go undefeated and all that kind of talk, you know.
Hey, Jim, before we let you go, I want to know who you feel is going to be in the Super Bowl this year and who's going to win it.
Well, I hope the Packers are back. Cowboys look to be the two stronger teams in that division, and I'm not sure whether New England will be returning or just who in the other division will be representing the AFC.
Final question, Jim. I want you to give me the one or two most exciting memories that you have during your tenure as an outstanding running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Probably one of the games that was outstanding was the New York Giant game in 1962 in Yankee Stadium. It was a big championship game up there, and the temperature was probably hovering around 25 to 30 below zero, and that was a hard-fought, tough ball game. We had end up winning that game 16-7, and I remember that game as a very exciting and big game. And then probably the first Super Bowl against Kansas City, where we were victorious and controlled that football game and came out the winners in the first Super Bowl.
That was Packer Hall of Famer Jim Taylor in an interview that he did with SRN's Bob Greenberg, our old sports director. Right, Dave?
Okay, right, Steve. And now, Bob and I, from way back in about 96, right, Steve?
That's correct.
All right, here we are with former Packer and Hall of Famer Bart Starr.
Bart, first of all, what are your memories of the Ice Bowl? What was it like to play in that very cold weather that suddenly changed the night before?
I'm glad you started with the night before, because that's where I would like to begin. It was interesting on our pregame workouts on Saturday. The day actually was cold, probably around zero or maybe a little above, but there was no wind, and it felt like it was in the 30s, and I'm not exaggerating. And you, all of us know the rest of it. It began to change after that and became very cold overnight and then never recovered much the next day.
Well, what was it like to play in that cold weather for both you and the Packers and the Cowboys?
It was extremely tough. I recall a person, I believe it was a media person, saying something to Max McGee before the game about how tough it was going to be on the Cowboys. And he said, yes, it is. But he said, I have news for you. This is going to be tough on everyone. And it was. It was just a very brutal day.
But I want to talk about the final drive in the Ice Bowl and the winning touchdown.
It was a very meaningful experience for all of us. We knew that it was literally do or die at that point. The Cowboys had come back to go ahead in the game. And when we went into the huddle for that final drive and looking into the eyes of the linemen, there was no need to make any comment other than just call the play and get after it, because everyone was intense. They were ready to go and perform. And that's exactly what happened. It was truly a team performance during and throughout that drive. And every person literally contributed, and as a result, we were able to score.
Well, of course, you got over the top on that one.
Well, sort of under the bottom. I guess would be a better way, because we were able to push far enough into the end zone to sneak in behind a couple of great blockers.
Bart, describe your arrival to the Packers in the 1950s.
It was a very interesting experience. I came there with very little resume. I was injured my final 2 years of college, and so I was thrilled to be drafted at all. I had worked extremely hard during the summer prior to going to training camp, felt very prepared, but just simply hoped I would get a chance to display the talent that I had in order to be able to make the football team. I was granted an opportunity to do so and made the team and was just thrilled. I had followed the Packers for years and the Bears. The Bears were televised in Alabama for years, and I was a big Bears and Packer fan, and so when I was drafted by them, I was extremely elated. When Coach Lombardi came to the Packers, and looking at who had been there and what performances we had pulled off, I'm sure he wasn't very impressed. And so he had traded to the then Chicago Cardinals for Lamar McCann, and I backed him up the first year he was there, and then when he was injured, I had a chance to play.
Now, Bart, what about that great Bears-Packer rivalry?
I don't know that there are people out there who can really appreciate it unless they've been following it for years and have been very close to it, and obviously the players and coaches are those who can best appreciate it. It is truly unique, and I felt thrilled to be in the black and blue division, if you will, and to have been able to play against the Bears for so many years, because it was a special game. You prepared for it in a unique way because of the emotion, and it was always a thrill to play regardless of what the score was. And I'll always recall the fun moments of playing, fun times of playing in Wrigley Field against the Bears. That was quite an environment in those days.
Well, Bart, I wonder if you can talk about what it was like to play for Coach Vince Lombardi. What kind of a guy was he to play for?
I wish your show were longer, because we could talk literally for minutes and hours about that. He was a great inspirational leader, outstanding teacher, a person who truly, when standing in front of you or being around you during the course of a day, epitomized what leadership through example was all about. You saw a person standing in front of you every day who truly sought to excel. And then you talk about someone you wanted to emulate. He was it.
Now, your last game you ever played was the first game I ever saw in 1971 against the Dolphins.
Well, I was probably in error for attempting to play the last two or three years of my career. I had a shoulder injury, and when Coach Lombardi retired, I should have been smart enough to retire too. But with Coach Bingson coming in, I continued to play, and in hindsight, it was a mistake. I couldn't play that well, and I remember the Dolphin game as well, and I didn't play very well.
Bart, I have a final question. If you look back on your coaching career at Green Bay, if you had a chance to do it over, what would you do differently now?
I probably would not have accepted the job. I did it out of emotion. It's hard to say no to an organization you have a love affair with, but I had not planned to coach. I was already in business. I was very happy in business. But how do you say no? And I don't know that the one thing I would like to have had was have someone like a Ron Wolf to assist you, which the Packers did not have in those days, and unfortunately didn't make the change, although we urged them to do so. Because Ron Wolf, in my opinion, has been a very, very strong contributor to the success of the Packer organization in recent years.
Well, those were some strong offensive teams with Lynn Dickey, James Lofton, John Jefferson, Paul Kaufman, and then a good backfield with Ellis and Ivory. But the defenses in those years kind of limited the Packer wins.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good observance. You are noting some outstanding performers we had there. We just couldn't stop some people. In fact, one of the years that we had our best offensive displays, we simply couldn't stop the other team, and we would have to outscore opponents in order to win, and I can tell you, and you know this well.
Another Hall of Famer, courtesy of the Weekend Sports Report, that was Bart Starr.
Okay, Steve, and let's keep moving. We got to get the Bears in here, and here's something you did. The legendary linebacker, middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, Dick Butkus.
Yeah, we caught up with him in Wrigley Field, and here's the interview.
We're visiting today with one of the great linebackers in NFL history, Dick Butkus. You played right here in Wrigley Field back in 65 to 70. What was that like?
Well, for me, it was really pro football, because to me, when you looked at the history of pro football, where they play these games in like prairies and everywhere else, you know, it was wherever you can get 100 yards, you play football, and that was professional. And that's why I felt here, because, you know, the south end zone, they had, I think, 2x6 planks covering the corner of the dugout, the visitor's dugout over there, and that was part of the end zone. And then when you go to the north end, it was almost like the end of the end zone was like right where the warning path starts back there in the outfield. So it was close, you know, close confines to the fans, which were great, and the poor visitors would have to go through the visitors' locker room, and they just had a cyclone fence where they had to go upstairs to their locker room, and of course the Bear fans would, you know, shower them with whatever as they walked by. So I just thought it was a great, you know, this was the essence of being in the pros. You play under any conditions, wherever, and you know, because that field really had a slope from like the pitcher's mound all the way out to left field, and we actually practiced here, you know, all week before the games, and as the weather turned, I mean, we would just tear up all the grass, so there was really no grass, and then it would die off if we had a cold spell, and they'd have to paint the field on Saturdays to make it at least look green. So I just thought it was great.
Played with the likes of Gale Sayers, Mike Ditka. What were some of the camaraderie back then with some of those great players?
Well, I played against Gale in a couple of All-Star games, and you know, of course in practice, and I still say it to this day, he was probably one of the best backs I've ever faced. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, well, you know, you played with you, how can you say that? But I saw enough of him in practice and things like that that no one else ever duplicated in games. So that's why I say I think he was one of the best. Then I remember Mike, the first exhibition game, there was always talk about the spirit or the, you know, the team unity spirit of pro football wasn't as great as college, and that was quickly dispelled because I remember the first game we played in the Liberty Bowl in Nashville, and I think it was one of the first games, and there was Mike with the other captains by the door, and it was an exhibition game, and he was yelling and getting everybody going, and I thought, hey, this is the real the real thing here. This is great. So a lot of misconceptions about this unity and spirit of college and pro. I tell you, pro doesn't take a seat to anybody as far as unity and spirit. At least it wasn't that way back when I was playing. Now they're changing teams so often, I don't know where their loyalty is.
Yeah, and if you think about the old days, there were no seat warmers, there were no hand warmers, no docs on the sidelines. You know, when you got hurt, what happened?
When you got hurt, you just, you know, that's you just play like you didn't get hurt because, you know, it just seemed back then, if you got hurt or whatever on the field, you just took whatever it took to get off the field. You didn't want to give the opponent team any pleasure in seeing that, oh, you know, I'm injured. You know, you did this to me. Unlike today where they, if they have a hangnail, they're down, they got their face buried in the AstroTurf. And to me, it's like when everybody, all the pull motor and all the emergency people come running out there to help this guy, it's like, hey, is the TV camera on? Okay, I can get up now, take the helmet off and run off and smile. Back in our days, you know, if you would have done that, I mean, you would have been chastised. It's just, you don't let or give anybody the satisfaction that, hey, you might have hurt me. I'm going to get off the field no matter what.
Nor did they have the rules to protect the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. And everybody was fair game, weren't they?
Yeah, pretty much so. That's what I think when people ask what's changed about the game. You know, everybody right away says, oh, it's the money. Well, I don't know about that. It probably has some effect on the players. But really, it's the rules on defense. You know, a receiver, you can hit them anywhere that they ran routes anywhere. You can hit them as long as the ball wasn't thrown. And now you only got 5 yards. And so, to me, it's... they're handcuffing the defense. The offensive lineman it becomes a shoving match, which gives them a little advantage, you know, to help them on the pass rush and things like that. So when I was playing, it just seemed like every year there'd be rule changes. And if one rule was changed for defense and maybe the offense didn't score as much as they'd like, boom, they'd take away a rule from the defense and vice versa. And they were actually trying to make it even. I think now with the exposure of the game and everything else, they really want to see high-scoring games, I would think, because with all the rule changes, it seems like for every rule change, 3 of them are for the offense, favor the offense, and 1, is for the defense. So, but I guess that's what they want.
So who were some of the quarterbacks that you played against that you would tip your cap, say, boy, that guy was great?
Well, you know, we had one right in our division. Bart Starr was great, and that was during their winning years. John Unitas. We had Fran Tarkington when he was scrambling around, playing well. John Brody was playing out there in San Francisco, and Gabriel. I mean, I think on a whole, if you look back, I mean, during that 65 to 75, there were a lot of good quarterbacks. Sonny Jurgensen, you know, there were a lot of them around. Now it just seems like if you don't have, you know, a really good one, you can write your team off.
How would Peyton Manning have fared in your day?
Oh, I think he'd do fine because, you know what, he works at the game. I mean, he has the ability, but he has it upstairs, too. It just depends on who he's with. You know, his poor dad was crucified with the team he had to play with. So you really don't know how good he could have been. But with Peyton, I think he could have played in any era just because he works at the game.
What are some of your best recollections of the Bear-Packer rivalry?
Well, it starts off the week before the Packers when we used to practice here. Doug Atkins used to joke around with Coach Hallis and say, you know, Coach, I saw some reflection of binoculars over there on Waveland Avenue in an apartment over there. And the old man would get one of the assistants and run over there and check it out. And it would only happen during Packer week, you know, because I guess we had our spies and the old man was really leery about spying on us. And but it was in my era, it was great because I had met Nitschke when I was a sophomore through my brother at Illinois. And so, you know, everybody thought we were, you know, against each other, but actually he was a good friend and he was actually a guy I looked up to for many years. And they were a good team, you know, and we weren't so good after a 65 year. We almost made the playoffs, but it just always seemed that when you play against the Packers, you know, it was the rivalry. And even though we weren't that good, let's say, we always gave them a good game, you know, and that's what I liked about it. Here you're playing, and I was young, first 3 or 4 years, you know, here we're playing some, you know, former world champions, and, you know, it's kind of a measuring stick. If our team wasn't winning very much, well, how do you measure if you're doing well enough? And well, so you got to take personal pride and see how well you can play against the best. And that's what I tried to do. And it was fun. It was, you know, they were good. They would tell you, I mean, literally tell you what their formations were, they're going to go, and they just challenge you to stop them. But they were so well defined that they really executed, and that's what killed everybody.
Well, thinking back, you mentioned Coach Hallis. What was special about Coach Hallis?
Well, the thing special about him, I thought, was that he was the owner and your coach. And, you know, if you wanted to smart off, you're smarting off with the guy who pays you, unlike a regular coach that, you know, he's just your coach. He's not the general manager, and you don't have to worry about him cutting your salary or whatever. He was the man we had to talk to. And I know when Gal and I came aboard in the 65, we were the only two guys that dealt with him. And he would never let me use, you know, a representative. Although you could call your guy after you talked to him, but you'd use his phone. The thing was probably tapped in the first place. And then he would just say, you know, no one's here to watch you or whatever. They're here to watch Gail. And then I talked to Gail, and he said the same thing to me. He says, they're not here to watch you, Gail. They're here to... So he was always, you know... And I just... Being, you know, a buff of history and my love of the sport, I mean, what better situation to play for the guy who practically started the game, started pro football? So people can say whatever they want about him being cheap or whatever. I just really like playing for him. He was the man, and it's just a shame that he let it slide a little bit too long before he made some changes because I think they made a big mistake by letting George Allen go. I think if he would have allowed George to come and be the head guy, I think they had enough personnel, and with George's ability to trade and get people to play for him, I think they would have had, you know, a few more championships.
What was your top salary plan?
I think it was 100, maybe 100, 102 or something like that, and that was at the very end, and I had a fight to get that.
Well, if Lance Briggs is worth $7 million and Ray Lewis is worth $9 million, what would you have been worth, 10, 12?
I don't know. Playing here, I don't know. But, you know, the Bears, I guess, they opened up their strings for Harris, I guess. So It was just, that was the way it is. You know, it really wasn't a big issue because we all had side jobs. We all, you know, after practice, we had other jobs.
What was your job?
Well, 1 year I worked for Wanzer Dairy. You know, Wanzer on milk is Sterling on silver. And then I worked for a Bork Pontiac out there in Chicago Heights. I worked for 1 year for Bennett Industries out in Piatone selling pails, plastic pails. And so everybody seemed to have something else to do and wasn't really, you know, I mean, it wasn't brought up as much. Of course, we'd always say that, you know, Halas was cheap and all that, but that was just, it was fun playing for him because, you know, he'd come up with stuff and, you know, hey, coach, you know, what about this? You know, I thought we just wanted to get some extra money for this. And he says, yeah, well, I lied, you know, goodbye. You know, just goofy things like that, he'd say. And everybody, oh, okay.
That was legendary number 51, Dick Butkus of the Bears, when we caught up with him at Wrigley Field.
Okay, so good stuff here on the Weekend Sports Report. Coming back, we'll talk with Jeff Rich. The NBA season is coming up. We'll touch on that and look at what the Bears and the Packers have done so far this year, Steve, right here on the Weekend Sports Report.
All right, right back after this.
If you haven't already, you'll soon be putting away your mower for the winter. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to winterize it right after this. Old, ugly, or damaged bathtubs and sinks don't have to be ripped out and replaced. Save money and give new life to bathroom fixtures with Homax Tough as Tile Spray-On Epoxy Finish. Preparation is the key, so follow the directions carefully and don't cut any corners. With Homax Tough as Tile, you can refinish your bathtub or sink yourself and get great results without hiring a professional. Homax, creating better homes. This time of the year, most of us are pretty relieved to be done with some of our weekly warm weather chores like mowing the grass. But if you forget to winterize your mower before parking it for the season, you may pay the price with startup problems when spring rolls around. Here's a few simple tips to prepare your mower for its long winter's nap. First, completely drain the tank of fuel, then start the engine and run it until the carburetor is dry. If this isn't possible, at least add a fuel stabilizer to the tank to keep the gas from gumming up the works. Clean any debris from out from under the deck and store the mower in a dry place for winter. And remember, use fresh gas when you start the engine next spring. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have two credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow. 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
We're Consolidated Credit. We're here to give you freedom from debt. Call now for your free consultation.
If I had known it was this easy, I would have called years ago.
Call 1-800-530-5341. 1-800-530-5341. That's 1-800-530-5341.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll, the Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects, the safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
Hi there, this is Chris Berman from ESPN. Hey, Packer Dave, I know you know about the frozen tundra. But about the rest of football, do a little boning up, eh?
This is Steve Leventhal, and you're listening to the Weekend Sports Report. I'm here with Packer Dave.
All right, I'm coming to you from Florida. Getting ready to go on a cruise as the Packers and the Bears are on a bye week. That means time on a bye week. And right now, we bring in to talk about the NFL and more from the Sports Byline Radio Network. You can hear him Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 Pacific Time, 11 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday mornings at sportsbyline.com, and also the host of the Suits and Laterals podcast at suitsandlaterals.com. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
All right, Jeff. Glad to have you. Now, let's look at the Bears and the Packers at this point in the season. Green Bay 6-0, Chicago 2-4. Pretty much what you expected.
Did I expect the Bears to win two games all season?
All right, check. Check off the checklist.
Yeah, I thought this would be about where they'd be at, but, expound, please.
Well, is John Fox an upgrade or a downgrade for Mark Trestman and the gang? Is Jay Cutler playing with any more heart? Are they getting anything more out of Matt Forte? Have they added any pieces on defense? Or is it, quite frankly, the same old Bears?
Yes, yes, no, maybe, yes.
Well, they won a couple close games against Oakland and Kansas City. They lost to Detroit in overtime last week. It could easily be 3-3. But you're just saying that you're expecting a 6-10 or a 7-9 season.
Right. I think that Ryan Pace has his work cut out for him with this job. John Fox, Denver fans didn't like him. He wore out his welcome in Carolina. I think he's probably a welcome change for the Chicago Bears. I mean, you look at what Baltimore's doing with Mark Trestman running that offense, and it's not impressive. I mean, Baltimore's one of those perennial teams that's always going to be there. I heard this week that the Ravens organization looks at John Harbaugh as a Chuck Knoll type, as a guy that's going to be around for years and years to come, that there's not going to be any turnover, that he can survive a 5-11 season and nobody's going to, start throwing pink slips, at the Ravens facility there in Baltimore. But, Mark Trestman's not doing a very good job. Mark Trestman hasn't been good since he was coaching Bernie Kosar in Cleveland in the 80s.
Okay, Jeff, what about the Packers right now? 6-0? I would have thought maybe 5-1, but they're 6-0. What do you think here?
I think they've gotten away with a few. I think they got away with it against San Diego. They got to play four quarters of football. I think that's what did them in a year ago, and certainly what did them in last January, not to isolate the NFC Championship game and the perfect storm of things that went wrong for the Green Bay Packers. But, playing without Jordy Nelson, that's still a big deal. Not having a running game, that's something that they've hidden a little bit better than the Denver Broncos have. Aaron Rodgers has been fantastic. That defense, you've got guys like Daniels that are stepping up, and it's not all Clay Matthews on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that's what makes a difference, is that they're holding some of these comebacks at bay.
Okay, Jeff Rich with us, and he's from the Sports Byline USA Network and the suitsandlaterals.com podcast. Now, Jeff, let's turn our attention to the NBA. Season getting underway here, and Golden State Warriors win it all last year. Are they a repeat team?
In a word, no. Not to take anything away from them, it's very difficult to win an NBA title regardless of the circumstances, but they had a lot of things really go their way, just with the wake of their path to the Larry O'Brien Trophy. They've got the shooters, but when you're a jump shooting team, you're always subject to a cold night, and you're always subject to a few cold nights in a short series. And, regardless of how long seven games seems to you and I, it's really nothing if you drop one or two games because you can't shoot from the outside. I thought they had those problems against Cleveland. Cleveland was just the walking wounded in the finals, and they ended up getting it together by the end of the series. But they're going to have a treacherous path through the West, provided that San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Houston, they don't suffer the same injury problems that they did a year ago. You get a healthy point guard on the floor to guard Steph Curry. Klay Thompson's not the same player. Festus Ezeli had a great series. Had a great semifinal or Western Conference Finals and a great NBA Finals. Draymond Green, you know, you can't say enough about him. I mean, that's a special player. You figure that they are going to get better under Steve Kerr, but you figure that some of the luck that went in their direction is not going to be there when they need it in 2016.
All right, Steve, and you're in Chicago. Let's touch on the Bulls. Now, Steve, you've covered the Bulls for a long time. Give us your thoughts on Chicago, and then we'll ask Jeff.
Well, as far as the Bulls are concerned, you know, so much of that has to do with the health of Derrick Rose. And while he finally had a healthy offseason in the summer, he was able to get ready for the season. Then, lo and behold, the first day of practice, he got hit by a stray elbow. And then, so he's on the shelf for a little bit. A lot of that will, you know, be determined on how he does. Now, one thing that's been kind of a bright spot, or at least it looks that way, is new draft pick Bobby Portis out of Arkansas had a couple of nice games in the preseason. And while it is the preseason, you know, to be able to upgrade your team with a low, late first-round draft pick, you know, that can't do anything but help you.
I agree. Portis is the steal of the draft. That guy's going to be a special player for years to come. Do not be surprised if he's more in the running for Rookie of the Year than some of the top five picks. You know, Carl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, because he plays in L.A., has got a chance to, you know, to really make some noise. He's kind of the heir apparent to Kobe Bryant. Let's see if they can play on the floor together. But I like adding Bobby Portis to that front court. You can't rely on the older veterans that you're paying a lot of money there. But, you know, I think Jimmy Butler's the star of that team, and I think that Butler and Portis could be there for years to come. Rose, on the other hand, I'm not so concerned about him physically as I am concerned about his approach to the game. It doesn't sound like he's overly excited to play in Chicago. You know, they're going to be very selective. If you look at the way that Iowa State played for the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, there, they don't take low-percentage two-point shots. They take three-point shots, and they take shots at the rim. I think that's going to, you know, I don't really think that there's a mid-range player that's going to miss taking mid-range jump shots there. But Chicago's got some they've got some room to grow there, and it might not be their year this year. I think there are other good teams in the Eastern Conference to threaten Cleveland, but I don't think it's Chicago. I think that they make the playoffs because the conference on the whole is very, very bad. But this, you know, this is a growing year. They, you know, they're just going to have the comfort of growing with NBA playoff experience.
Cleveland. What about my Milwaukee Bucks?
Very exciting team. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm a little more excited about them just because of the unknown. There's some intrigue to the Bucks. You know, good nucleus of players. You know, Jason Kidd knows what he's doing with that team. I wouldn't be surprised to see them at, you know, have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, which means taking up one of those top four spots in the Eastern Conference. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of the Bucks, a recent incident probably should be in your Lawsuits and Laterals podcast is that John Henson got racially profiled while he was trying to buy some jewelry in a jewelry store.
What a ridiculous story that. I mean, not a ridiculous story, but a ridiculous occurrence. You know, shame on you, jewelry store owner. If you're that concerned, have armed security guards and vet everybody the same way. This is a really, you know, we're in the days after Marty McFly went to the and Doc Brown went to the future in Back to the Future, you'd think we'd grow beyond silly things like that. I feel really bad for John Henson, and I feel really bad to exist as a part of society that acts like that. You know, when are we gonna learn?
Well, the doubly worst part is that his dad is a business executive. I don't know if he still is, but at one point he was working for the Outback Steakhouse. He probably makes more money than our parents ever made.
I wouldn't doubt it. Dave, as far as the Cavaliers are concerned, you know, they're going to get a slow they're going to get off to a slow start. They're missing some key pieces. This week they were, you know, the stalemate finally ended between Cavaliers management and Tristan Thompson. You've got a guy that primarily rebounds and plays defense, and he's making I think they, you know, came out to $82 million over 5 years. He wanted $90 million. The team originally wanted to give him $52 million over four. You know, there's a lot of moving parts there with the Cavaliers. There's a lot of players that are hurt. You know, Iman Shumpert's going to start on the shelf. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love looks like he's going to be back on the floor on opening night and be healthy for the first time since he was traded to the Cavaliers a year ago. And LeBron James is going to take it easy. You know, expect him to take some nights off. I'm not just talking about, you know, wearing street clothes. Expect him to have some 20-minute games where they just rest them on like the back end of a back-to-back. But no reason that the Cleveland Cavaliers should not win the Eastern Conference and, you know, realistically compete for an NBA title in 2016.
Finally, Jeff, let's touch on your Suits and Laterals podcast quickly and the Dorf on Sports Byline Sunday show.
Well, we'll start with the Dorf show on Sunday mornings. I'm actually... I'm on the first and second hour generally. I'm going to take a rare weekend off here coming up. But, we go all around the world of sports. We talk to reporters from all over the continent, really. Major League Baseball, so much going on in the world of sports right now. We talk football. We talk, we have a guest that talks about college football. We have a guest that talks about Major League Baseball and the NHL. We occasionally get some outside guests that mix it up a little bit. And Dorf and I go back and forth on social commentary, and we do have a third in Fred Wallen, who likes to make some noise about what's going on in Southern California, most notably his Los Angeles Dodgers. On the Suits and Laterals podcast, we switched the format a little bit. It's Chris Green and I, and we go back and forth on, an off the field issue. As Steve has joked, we should call it lawsuits and laterals. We talked about some of the, how there wasn't a player arrested in the month of September, and now we're dealing with, Derek Coleman getting a DUI, Fred Jackson potentially drag racing, and Seattle suddenly becoming dysfunctional, and of course
your boy Johnny Manziel.
And of course, that's hit the news, and I think that's going to be a bigger and bigger deal as more people weigh in on it. And I think that it's going to heat up the kitchen very similar to the way the Ray Rice case did, especially now that there's supposedly, I haven't seen it yet, accompanying video. I would be very surprised if Johnny Manziel is on the Browns roster when they hit camp in 2016.
All right, Jeff, thanks very much. Jeff Rich, check him out. And thank you for coming on the Weekend Sports Report, Jeff.
Hey, it's always good to be here. I look forward to the next time we do it.
And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, check us out at internetfm.com or packerdaveshow.com, iTunes, also milehighradio.com, and zcomradio.com. A lot of places you can get us, and tunein.com. Steve, a nice trip down memory lane today.
Absolutely, and all of you barkeeps in San Juan and Aruba and Bonaire, Curacao, St. Martin, you better stock up on your liquor. I'm telling you, Packer Dave's coming.
All right. We want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Come back next week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Get some beers, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. To club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Exercise and eating right are two ways to practice healthy living, but would you believe you could also be healthy by vacuuming? I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a healthy way to suck it up right after this.
When it comes to construction adhesive, professional contractors know what matters most. Dependability, strength, and quick dry time. Introducing new Tight Bond Fast Set Polyurethane Construction Adhesive. It builds strength faster than other polyurethane adhesives. Use it to bond dozens of materials in any construction, remodeling, or home repair project. Tight Bond Fast Set. It works for the pros. It'll work for you. For more information, visit TightBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Almost everyone will agree that a clean home is a healthy home. Vacuuming the floor should be a weekly chore to help keep your home on the healthy list, but not all vacuums are created equally. Typical upright and canister vacuums actually help contribute to the scattering of dust and allergens, because the minute that you turn them on, they're exhausting right back into the room. This is a good reason to consider a central vacuum system instead. It doesn't recirculate particles and allergens because it's exhausted to the outside. In fact, central vacuums can reduce allergy symptoms from dust inside your home by up to 61% versus an upright or canister model. Plus, they have up to 5 times more cleaning power, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I'm Danny Lippert with tips for today's homeowner.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-262-9159. Again, that's 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159.
Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll, the Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects, the safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyXcluder.com. That's buyXcluder.com. BuyXcluder.com.